Chapter 9, we'll be there later down the road. All right, you have that place turned up, Matthew chapter 9. Now, I try to fix this little lamp. Does that reflect on my glasses and make me look like I'm fell out of Star Trek, does it? Doesn't. Okay. Well, they got some weird ones on that thing, haven't they, Bud? All right. Let me just start by saying good morning. And it's good to be back here in my little nest again. And today I want to begin a few messages on the subject of important words in the Bible. And the first important one that we're going to consider this morning is the word repentance. And for a few Sundays, we'll be selecting some words of this nature, very important ones. Now, what I plan on doing this morning, I'm going to spend about 15 minutes in explaining the meaning or definition of the word repentance. Over the years, I've picked up by reading commentaries and listening to fellow ministers and missionaries, I've picked up that there are places along the way in the Bible where the best of us stumble. We just can't make it make sense, and so they skirt around it. One of those places is Christ as a brazen serpent. I've noticed ministers stumble on that. Well, we don't stumble on it. That shows the vileness of the death of sin like a serpent. Another place is the baptism of Christ. I've noticed ministers stumble on that. We've been talking to you about that on Sunday night. And another place, really and truly, is this word repentance. It is a very important word in the Bible. And the starting place, of course, is where I'm going to start, and that is, let's begin by answering the question, what does this first important word, repentance, mean? Do you know? Now, I know the standard answer that we always get, and we're going to use that, but we're going to, first of all, explain what repentance means. Now, I'm assuming that everybody is here today, especially at this time now, because you want to listen and see if God would have something to say to you, if He would speak to you. And I believe that if you have that mood, that He will. What does repentance mean? Now, we're going to answer this and then go over a string of verses and inject the meaning of repentance into the word in these verses. I believe you'll understand it if you can follow. All right, repentance and salvation are like inseparable chain links. Repentance and salvation. They are tied to each other. Listen to this. Whenever someone turns his thinking and life in a new direction, it is always because he has already judged his previous thoughts and life going in the wrong direction. And this act of turning from the old thoughts and the old life to a new way of thinking and a new way of acting, that takes us up in front of the word repentance. Turning from. Somebody said, when we begin to think about repentance, we're thinking about turning. Turning from the bad to the best. Turning from poison to perfume. Turning from garbage to gold, from trash to treasure, from hell to heaven, from darkness to light, from death to life. And you could chase that for a mile, I reckon. when we step before repentance, it begins to say to us, welcome here, but I want to tell you, I'm to talk to you about turning around in your life. And we've got to see that now, away with these cheap definitions of repentance. You know, the average church member, many of them live like hell and think they're going to heaven. And you know, the two don't mix. And repentance is a theme or a subject that's rarely ever preached. When it's preached, it's so watered down, it's worse than sodded dough. And so when we step before the word repentance, it says, glad to have you here, and I want to talk to you about your life and some turns that need to be made in your life. That's how we start with repentance. Now, very careful, listen, I'll tell you I worked to put this one together and to reduce it down to common sense for you. Our English word repentance, or repent, in its various forms, this English word repentance has its origin in three very ancient words. It just didn't start in the year 2000 or the year 200. Repentance goes right back to the sunrise of antiquity. Repentance begins in three very ancient, old, gray-headed words. Let's take these three words so that you'll understand the root of repentance. And let's say they are like triplets. And we're going to call them by name, these three words. That's how I'm going to illustrate. They're like triplets. The first triplet, we're going to call her Miss Metamelami. I know you can't spell it. And I'm not going to take time to go into definitions, but in order to understand what repentance means, the first ancient word is Metamelami. That's the first one. And metamelami, now listen to this, metamelami means to look in my life to find out what's wrong. That's the first step to repentance, Tony. Miss Metamelami, tell us what you mean. I mean for you to start looking in your life and to find out what's wrong. Now, most of us haven't taken the first one yet. Look into Miss Metamelami, look into my life and see and discover what's wrong there. All right, there's a sister, another triplet. We call her Miss Metanoia. They're Greek words. Miss Metanoia. I say, well, Miss Metanoia, your sister really gave me a slap in the face. Your first sister said, for me to really know about repentance, I had to look inside to see what was wrong. And she said, my sister told you right, but I want to add the second part to that. I say, oh, well, Miss Metanoia, what is the second part to that? And she says, the second part is, after you've looked into your life and you have discovered what is wrong, then next, you are to regret everything that's there and change your mind against it. Oh, I hope you got that. After you discover what's there, you are to regret what's wrong and change your mind against it. I say, wow. You're tougher than your first sister. I say there's one more triplet down here, and her name is Miss Epistrophi. Miss Epistrophi. So I say, all right, Miss Epistrophi, your first sister gave me a kick. Your second sister gave me a punch. What are you going to say to me? And she says, I'm going to conclude what my two sisters started. And with this conclusion, you will have the meaning of what repentance really is. So I say, all right, miss, tell me what it is. She says, now repentance finally and ultimately is that when I have looked into my life and have discovered what's wrong and then I am sick and tired of it and change my mind against it, then I turn from it and turn to God for help. Amen, brother. You got the definition of repentance right there. And that does away with all the jockeying and all the easy believism. That's repentance. Now let me give it to you one more time. Repentance. It comes from three ancient Greek words, like three triplets. The first one, metamelami, I'm looking inside, and boy, am I finding out something. Do you know what's wrong with some of you people? Do you know what's wrong with many of you who listen to these cassette recordings as they go in different places in the world? Do you know what's wrong? Do you know the reason you don't know anything about repentance is because you never started right when you stood before Him? And repentance says the first step is to look inside and see what's wrong. Now let's get real practical. Could I challenge you right now to forget your husband or your wife or your boss or your in-laws or your outlaws or whatever, and could I challenge each one of us to stop just a moment and listen to Miss Metamelami, and she says, first, look inside and find out what's wrong there. Wow. All right, let's run a scan. Found anything? Have you? The first step to true Bible repentance. Miss Metamelami. Look inside yourself and see what's wrong. Now, there's some people that won't do that. I have a dear brother. You've heard me request prayer for him. I phoned him again yesterday afternoon. Been sending him tape. Did you listen? Nah, threw him out. You know what's wrong with him? He's afraid to look inside because he knows what he's going to find that's wrong. The next step, metanoia. Wow. When I take that scan inside and see this and see that and see the other and see my life without God and see me running from God and see me joking my way into hell, when I look inside and begin to see that, then Miss Metanoia says, wait a minute, after you've seen those things, you've got to be sick of them and change your mind against them. Now, the first step's one thing. Boy, the second step's another. Let me give you something. Do you know, of course, some of us know, a lot of you know, do you know it's possible in our hearts to acknowledge sin, and to acknowledge God, and to acknowledge there's a hell and a heaven? It's possible to acknowledge all these things in our heart without abhorring sin as something that dishonors God and will destroy me. That's possible. David, that's where most church folk are. While they wouldn't commit adultery, they wouldn't go down and mug an old lady pulling in her garage at 9 o'clock at night. They wouldn't go down to Walmart and steal at Christmas when the crowd's thick and they think they can get away. They wouldn't do that at all. Yet what's inside? Listen, people, we've got to get back to the basis of this thing. Sure, we want the outside cleaned up and looking good and smelling good and doing the best we can. But I'm telling you, as I've said before, the outside's headed for the grave and the worms. The grave and the worms. What's the inside headed for? Looking inside, and when my Sunday school teacher spoke to me about my need for God in Christ in 1946, I'll tell you, I had already looked inside and I'd already discovered some very abominable things even as a young man that I didn't like. And when she spoke to me that Sunday morning, I want to tell you, Miss Metanoia got all over me. And Miss Metanoia began to say, don't you hate that? And I said, ma'am, I sure do. Are you sick of that? And I said, oh, Miss Metanoia, I am. And do you change your mind against it? I said, I hate every bit of it. Now what's next? You with me? And up stepped the third sister, Miss Epistrophe. And she said, what's next and what'll get you through? And that is to quickly turn from these things and turn to God for forgiveness and mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. Folks, that's a mechanism of Bible repentance right there. There is no other. Now, let me give you a condensed version of it. And then we're going to go over these verses that I have been talking to you about. Here's a condensed version of everything I've said. What is repentance? I stand before him. I say, what are you? And repentance says, it is the changing of your mind about what's in your life and coming to God for help. That's true repentance. Now, you know how some people repent? Some people, when they get caught, they repent. When they're caught. Now, that might be all right, but I don't like it. When some men get caught or women get caught or young people get caught, oh yes, and they're nailed on it, then they're ready to repent there. Now, I don't like that. Would it not be better for the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart about what's in me that's not right, that's wrong, that needs correction? Would it not be better for the second phase of repentance to say, get sick of it and turn to God for help, leave it alone, change your mind about it? Would it not be better to come that way? You know, Brother Bob, and I guess the older you get, the more cantankerous you get. I don't know, whatever it is, whatever. But you know, I just can't get it out of my crawl that when I started preaching years and years and years ago, you could preach a simple message on repentance and people would run down to the front. I've been in meetings where you couldn't even have... I was in a meeting at Westside Baptist Church in Natchez, Mississippi, a 2 weeks meeting, and I didn't get to preach but about three times in 2 weeks, and we had two services a day back in those days. Didn't get to preach about three times. You'd go in there, and the song leader would go to crying. I'll always remember there was one man that got up, and he came up to the pulpit and whispered to the pastor, and the pastor said, just sit there, he wants to say something. And the man got up, and he said, people, I want to confess something. He said, about 30 years ago, I went to a dentist, and he did about $900 worth of work on my teeth, and I beat him out of his bill, and I've never paid him. And when I've seen him on the street, I cross over the street, and he said, I know I've been saved, but said, now, I've looked in my heart, I've seen this thing, and it's awful, and I've changed my mind about it, and I don't want it anymore, and I'm coming to God to ask him to forgive me of this thing. Man, that's repentance. That's repentance. Where is it today? Is this the reason conversions are so shallow, if they are conversions? I want to tell you something, people. Getting evangelical saved is a tough job, Bob Brown. Tough job. And here we find in these verses that we're going to go over, we find repentance fitted into its place. All right, are you at Matthew chapter 9? Matthew chapter 9. Now, repentance is changing my mind about what's in my life and turning to God for help. All right. Look at Matthew 9 and verse 13. Here we go now. Going to comment on these verses and we'll be rounding it up. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13. Now, listen to it. Here it is. Christ is speaking. In the latter portion of that verse, I'm interested in it, with the word for. And here's what Christ says. Christ says, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to changing their minds about what's in their life and turning to God for help. First thing. All right, turn to Luke chapter 3 and verse 13. Down the road a couple of miles. Luke chapter 13, it is rather in verse 3. Luke 13:3. That's the correct one now. Listen to this. Now I'm reading the verse and giving you the meaning of the word, so you can't miss what repentance means. All right? In fact, he says this twice in verse 3 and 5. I'll just take one of the verses. Luke 13:3. Christ is speaking, and Christ is talking to a crowd. He says, I tell you, no. No. Now the crowd came up with a silly argument. There were some people in the community, Brother Steve, that had died a horrific death by being crushed with a falling building, and others that had their throats slit and bled to death. They died horrible deaths. And the people, the church folk come running and say, "Oh Lord, surely they were the most wicked people in town to have died such horrible deaths." And Christ looks at him and said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Are you crazy?" Listen to the verse. He says, "I tell you, no, they're not the most horrible people. I tell you, no." He said, "Except you repent or change your mind about what's in your life and turn to God for help, you're going to perish the same way." Get that? You know what that verse is telling me? Unless a man or a woman or a boy or girl, their degree of life, whatever it may be, unless they're brought by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God to changing their mind about what's in their life and turning to God for help, they'll never have eternal life. All right, look at Luke 16:30. Down the road just a little bit. Luke 16:30. Repentance, an important word in the Bible. Oh, say that again for me. Very important. Repentance. Here are the words of a man speaking from the pits of hell. People say, has anybody on the other side of death ever said anything? Well, they sure have, and here's the record of it. And this fellow is in hell. He's just been refused any sort of mercy that he asked for. Because on the other side, it's merciless. On this side, it's merciful. And he's crossed over, and he's in the domain of mercilessness. Oh, how terrible. And he can't get help. He can't get water. He can't get relief. And he has one more option. He said, "Oh my, I've got 5 brothers back there in my father's house." He said, "If somebody will just go and tell my 5 brothers." Well, let's read Luke chapter 16 and look at verse 30. Shall we? Luke 16 and verse 30. Here he is. Here's the man in hell talking back. And he said, "No, Father Abraham. But if one went to my brothers from the dead, my brothers will repent." And Abraham said to the rich man, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Isn't it interesting that the answer was that even if a man went back from the dead, they would not change their mind about what's in their life and turn to God for help? You know, there are some people that have already made their mind up they are going to hell despite hell or high water. They're going there. And they're not going to change their mind about what they believe and how they feel. And they're not going to change their mind and regret their way and call to God for help. And those people guaranteedly will go. And here's this fella, and the word is, "Mister in hell, Mr. Rich Man, if your brothers are not willing to stop while they're on earth and to look inside themselves and to check out what's wrong and to hate it and to call to God for help, I promise you they'll be in hell. All 6 of you will be here in time." And they are there today. All right, look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Next verse. 17 and 30. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. An important word in the Bible is repentance. Here's Paul, a missionary, preaching on Mars Hill in Athens, Greece, to a pagan congregation. What's a pagan? A pagan is a heathen. What's a pagan and a heathen? It's a person who does not believe in the true and living God. That's a pagan or a heathen. And Paul is preaching to the pagans and heathens, and look what he tells them very clearly in verse 30. All right, he's preaching to them. And he says, "And the times of this ignorance are," he says, "your idolatry," you're bowing before this thing and that thing and another thing. He said, "This time God has winked at or he's turned his back upon." Uh-oh, he's requiring something else. All right, here it is. "But now, you want to know what God requires of me and requires of you and requires of all of us and will require of our children and grandchildren if they live? Do you know what God will require of every man? Here it is. "But now commandeth all men everywhere to," read that, church, "to what?
commandeth all men everywhere to change their mind about what's inside themselves and to look to the true and living God for help. I want to tell you, that's what God requires today. And you can, this old baloney about being politically correct. I just read an article that was passed to me and have a petticoat in our pulpit. Tell them, brother, come off with that stuff. I mean, what's the matter? You can't politically correct the gospel. You can't politically correct repentance. We stand before old repentance, and repentance says, look inside. You're going to see rot gut, and said, get sick of it and turn your mind against it, and then throw yourself on God and beg for help. And brother, you'll find it. That's the outcome of true repentance. Wow. Now I got two more for you, and that's in Revelation. Revelation, last book in your Bible, obviously, chapter 2. Let's see here now. Revelation 2 and verse 20. What do we have here? 2 and 20. Now we're talking about important words in the Bible, and we're talking about the word repentance. What it means, we've discovered, and we're injecting its meaning into the words of the text where it is mentioned. All right, Revelation 2 and verse 20. Well, the Lord Jesus, I'll get 21 for time's sake. Christ is speaking to a church group of people. And in that church group was a very bad person. Very bad. And God, in typical long-suffering and typical mercy, says this about her. Verse 21. God said, and I gave her space. I was speaking to a fellow who came by some months ago at the house, and we were talking, and very courteously I began to put the pressure on him about God, and he said, that's all right, preacher, give me some space. And I thought about this verse right here. You've heard people say, give me space, give me some rope, give me some slack, you know. And God said, you see that woman in the church? She's been there for years and years and years and years and years. And here's what God said. And I gave her space to what? I gave her space to change her mind about what's in her heart and to throw herself on God for mercy. And she's refused it. Gave her space. Look at chapter 9 and verse 20 of Revelation. 9 and 20. Here's one more. And I'll tell you, here's one that's beyond me. I can comment on it, but the depths of it is beyond me. For now, in this text, it is in a curious time that I don't know a lot about, but I've got enough sense to read the context and know that the people that are going through this, I mean, they are suffering. The sun is scorching them. There's famine. People are dying. There's plagues. The whole world is staggering like a drunk down a blind back alley. And things are bad, and God keeps holding His hand out to them, and His hand out to them, and His hand out to them, and they know, and they know, and they know, and they won't have it. And finally, look what's said in the text here in Revelation 9 and verse 20. Here it is. It says, and the rest of the men, which were not killed by the plagues and the judgments, it means, yet repented not of the works of their hands. Now, it's not impossible, and I've seen it on a few occasions, for some to go so far, that in time, the infinite God, whose mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, says, all right, you've crossed the line. I withdraw. I'm finished with you. You'll go to hell with my approval. Get busy at it. And here are people that had experienced every horrible judgment God will send on the world in this time, and yet with it, the Bible oddly says they still would not change their minds about what's in them and the wickedness that's in them and throw themselves on God and call to God for mercy and forgiveness. Important words in the Bible.
Now, folk, repentance is an important word. I'm not talking about our friends in a certain particular church where they run down on Saturday night, they've been drunk all day or all weekend or sleeping around with everybody else's wife, and they run down and Father O'Hooligan, here's what they say, and he's dumb enough to think he can forgive them. Okay? And I'm not being mean, I'm trying to be helpful. Very helpful. Now, I don't know what the Holy Spirit is working in your heart today. I wonder if Miss Metamelami says, hey, look inside. See what you can find. And then you begin to look and say, wow. And then here comes that other lady, Miss Metanoia. And she says, what you found is abhorrent. Change your mind about it. And Brother Jimmy, that third lady, Miss Epistoia, she says this. She says, have you had enough of it? Are you sick of it? If you are, I've got the answer. Look, there's God. Praise God. I'm pointing you to Him. Run to Him. He's got His arms open. And throw yourself upon Him, and He'll receive you and forgive you. And glory, that means you're saved. Hallelujah. That's an important word in the Bible, the word repentance. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, this old book is like a sharp shooter. It just hits the bullseye. It's like a Holy Ghost sniper. It don't miss. And today we're looking at important words, and we've looked at this first one, repentance. And we see what it means when we put its meaning into the word in these texts. And Lord, this morning, may the Holy Spirit, who's the real preacher, who's the only one who can finally get the job done anyhow. We're so glad that it's over to Him. He has to do this work. Lord, this morning, may men and women and boys and girls hear Miss Metanoia and Miss Metamelami as they say, look inside and see if you're happy with it. If you not turn from it and change your mind against it. And that last triplet, bring yourself to God. Turn to Him. Oh Lord, if there's fruit ripe today in this building or listening to this tape, pick it through repentance for Christ's sake. Let's keep our heads bowed just a moment, shall we? Just a moment. Now, I've tried to explain it, and I've repeated it several times. Unless you chose not to listen or you're too little to understand, it's been put in your lap. Your phone number's ringing. Repentance. Looking inside, I see what's wrong. I've changed my mind about it. I'm turning to God for help and forgiveness. That's what I'm doing. How many of you here are like that? Give me a signal. Thank you. Let's stand with our heads bowed, shall we? Our heads bowed just a moment. Our musicians play. Whatever you have, just easily there for us. Just play that. Whatever you have. These triplets, with their combined definition, are speaking to some of you. If you want help and you want prayer and you want someone to snuggle up close to you and pray for you and help you, come on right now. Find your place here. Come on. We'll wait. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. How about it? Come on. It's an important word in the Bible. An important word. One more time, ladies, as people are responding. Look inside. It's horrible. It's hideous. I don't want it. I've changed my mind against it. I'm turning from it and running to God, and boy, will He meet you for forgiveness. Repent or perish. How about you? Let me add these few comments in closing for you today. Our heads bowed just a moment. Do you know the reason we don't take the second step is because we don't take the first one? You know, I've got some physical problems. Mom has got some, and I've held off and held off and held off and haven't gone to the doctor and haven't gone to the doctor. And these things are getting mean. And I'm getting concerned. And you know what I did, B? I went to the doctor. And I'm going to a specialist. That's right. That's how it works. And only when these things get mean, are you going to say, hey, Miss Metanoia, thanks for that word. I'm getting up and out of here. I'm changing my mind. I'm going for help. It only works that way. Shall we bow for our dismissal, shall we? I'm going to wait around right up here as I usually do, and if I can help you look about the message about the things of God, I'm up here to do that. All right, let's bow, shall we? Brother Tony Holly, Sr., you close this meeting in prayer. All right, sit down.
Just be seated.
Yeah.